Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you again this Easter Sunday and be able to continue our theme that we are looking at over Easter, which is encounters with Jesus. The last part of this theme, if you've missed any, then please do get them online. But I'm going to talk quickly about an Easter Sunday quite a few years ago. So I'd been to the church I grew up in. Up in the northeast encounter room where I grew up, and this church was quite a small church. We used to meet on a farm, so there was a few couples. One of them were my parents that started this church, started meeting in this room on one of their family's farms there. So literally there was a cow shed next door to the room we would meet in, so you'd get them kind of quiet moments in between the worship songs. You just hear these moo in the background, hear the cows kind of joining in, doing their bit as part of our worship. But this Easter Sunday, we've been there at our church that kind of Sunday evening, and come home, and my older brother had a few questions about maybe Easter, about the Easter story, and I just remember just him speaking to my parents and discussing with them what the Easter story was all about, why Jesus died on the cross, why all of this happened. And that evening, my brother kind of prayed this prayer and accepted Jesus into his life. I just kind of sat there in the corner, I remember sitting in the corner of my kitchen, just listening to this conversation. I went to bed the next morning, the next Easter Monday morning. I woke up, bottom bunk of the bunk beds, which I was on at that time, with football posters all on my wall, just lay in bed for a few minutes and just thought about the night before. And in that moment, I made this decision. It was my first real encounter with Jesus. I made a decision that morning that actually I needed to have that relationship with Jesus. I prayed a prayer that I'd heard prayed the evening before with my brother and invited Jesus into my life. Not quite the Hollywood story of being on a start line as cookies got, but still a powerful first encounter I had on that Easter with Jesus, my Saviour. At the end of my message today, I'm going to give us all opportunity to pray a similar prayer that I prayed laid in my bed on the bottom bunk on that Easter Monday morning. Maybe you've never prayed a prayer like that before. Maybe it's a chance to recommit your life to God this morning. We're going to look at an encounter with Jesus this morning from someone called Mary Magdalene. I'm going to read a couple of passages for us this morning. So the first one is Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. It says, after this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This is one of the first introductions we have of Mary Magdalene in the Bible. Jesus healing her from having these evil spirits inside. Then I'm going to read the resurrection stories. This is a longer passage if you want to follow along, if you've got your Bibles with you in paper copy or on your phones. It's Matthew 27, starting at verse 45. I'll give you a few seconds to find that if you want to follow along this morning. So starting at Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, we'll go into Matthew 28. So it says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. And it's chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Incredible Easter story of our risen Saviour. But looking this morning at the impact and the story of Mary Magdalene, we've read there a couple of passages and we see her name repeatedly comes up in this story, the different parts that she interacted and encountered Jesus at these different moments. But a few things I think we can learn from these interactions Mary has with Jesus and hopefully will resonate with us this morning. So the first thing I recognise with Mary Magdalene's story is that she goes from oppression to empowerment. She's taken from oppression to empowerment. And first we hear of Mary Magdalene is that she is filled with these demons, these evil spirits that are inside of her, that are kind of maybe controlling her body in a certain way and being oppressed in this way. The Bible doesn't say specifically how these evil spirits were kind of interacting or affecting Mary, but we understand from other times and other stories in the Bible where people were in the same situation as Mary, that potentially they were controlling her actions, potentially they were changing her behaviour and how she was acting and responding around different people, and potentially she'd even been outcast from society or certain elements of that. Often people were kind of found in places out of the villages or towns that were affected by evil spirits in this way. But whatever, it would not have been her living in freedom. She would have been controlled in some way by these spirits and downcast. But Jesus sets her free. That we read, Jesus heals her from this and sets her free in that way. From this place that Mary has been in, so then we see the end of Mary's journey, that actually Mary's the person that Jesus chose to appear to first. This incredible moment for Mary Magdalene and her journey. I used to work in a couple of different high schools in Bolton, and different schools have different ways of working and kind of operating, giving children at different ages, different responsibilities. You get things like prefects and like that within the school. But sometimes in a school, you'll get a school that'll have different students that will sit outside the headmaster's office. Not because they're in trouble or because they've done anything wrong, but maybe some year seven students that will sit on a desk outside the headmaster's office, take it in turns there for maybe one lesson a week, and they will sit there and do their work just in case the headmaster needs to send a message to somebody else. Maybe the headmaster needs to speak to someone who is in trouble, someone that's done something wrong, and they need to have a word with them, have a chat with them, or the headmaster needs to get a message to one of their teachers. Headmaster will come out of his office, maybe give a note or give a message to this pupil, give to this year seven student, say, "Please can you go and get this person for me? Please can you go and tell this teacher this?" And then this little kid will walk off down the corridor looking around for the room that they've been sent to the person that they need to get, sheepishly knocking on the door, saying, excuse me, please can I have so-and-so, please can I have this person. And normally, a year 11 or an older student would not be doing what a year 7 student asks them or tells them to do. But when it's this small student comes and knocks on this door and says to this student, the head teacher has called for this person. The head teacher wants to speak to you. All of a sudden it changes, doesn't it? Because they're carrying the highest authority in that place. The head teacher has asked for you. In a similar way, I think that Mary, that the way that she might have been looked at by society, even the fact that she was a woman and men's testimony, men's word was counted more reliable in these days as well. But Jesus chose Mary to be the first person that he empowers with the good news of a risen Saviour. The first person that he actually interacts with and says, go and tell people that I am alive. Go and tell people that I have risen. For each and every one of us, we might find ourselves in a similar place. We think about the rest of Mary's life as well, and the way that Jesus interacted with her. Not only was it the greatest reveal in history, the greatest message and good news that the world has ever had, that he gives to Mary first, but we look at rabbis of the time, as they would have walked around, they would be followed by men, usually in that way, and their teachings that would learn from them and follow them. But we're hearing this passage as well, that Jesus had these women that followed him as well, and that learnt his teachings and learnt his ways as well. Jesus empowered them and Mary in this incredible way. But to think about each and every one of us, I don't know what you think about yourself, think about your status, think about where you kind of sit in our world. Maybe think about your background, the way you were brought up, the nationality, the occupation you have. Think about whatever it is, how the world may see you and may interact with you at different times. Whether you feel of yourself as low or high or whatever it is, but understand that Jesus sees us all exactly the same. In the same way that he empowered Mary with that good news of a risen Saviour, he has empowered each and every one of us to carry that good news as well. To be people that will walk understanding that we have a risen King, that we have a message to share with our world, that our Saviour is alive. Whoever you are, understand that you have got that message to carry. You have got that message to bring to our world as Mary did. The second thing that Mary turns from oppression to empowerment, the second thing is she moves from despair to joy. Now, I enjoy watching films, any kind of different genres. I'll kind of be fairly enjoyed, but the thing is, with a lot of films, there'll be a similar thread, won't there? There's always a moment of despair, and there's usually a moment of joy as well. That as we kind of go through watching a film, we know it'll have ups and downs. It'll take us on a bit of an emotional roller coaster, won't it? Whether it's like an action film, and it looks like at some point that the main character's going to die, or the world's going to end, or something's going to go drastically wrong. It'll take us through this journey to then a moment of joy at the end. If it's a rom-com, it'll look like the relationship is not going to happen, or the relationship is broken up, or something's gone wrong. And then usually at the end, there'll be this moment where the relationship is reunited at the end. And a lot of films go on this journey, don't they? They'll go with the ups and downs, keep us interested, keep us intrigued, keep us on the edge of our seats and knowing what is going to happen next. And I understood this. One of the earliest films I watched was Home Alone. And kind of that goes on that journey of the bandits trying to get in the house, and they finally get in the house. You're thinking it's going to go wrong. They're going to capture him. And at the end, it turns out all okay. And you get this great moment of joy as the family is reunited at the end. Shortly after this, one of the other early films I watched was Titanic. So I thought all films ended in this way. But then I watched Titanic and I got a bit of a shock, to be honest. I obviously knew the boat sank, but the ending goes a bit differently to just this happy picture of joy at the end, doesn't it? But the majority of time, it's this story, it's this roller coaster from despair to joy that happens. in our world. And we see, as we read that passage there, you think about what Mary Magdalene must have gone through at this time. From being there each and every step of the way through this Easter story, her name is mentioned over and over again. She witnessed Jesus being beaten and flogged in that horrible, horrible way. She saw her Saviour treated in that way. She saw him crucified and put on that cross for his last breath. She sat outside his tomb waiting, seeing what was going to happen in that moment. And then the first thing in the morning, she went to that tomb to see. You must think the roller coaster of emotions we go through in watching a film were nothing compared to what Mary must have gone through at this time. But for us all, we all recognise that the Easter story must have been horrendous to encounter at that time, thinking what has happened to Jesus, what is going to happen in these next coming days. We have the great benefit of being able to look back and know the end of the story from when we see. But that journey for all of us, that time when we recognise what Jesus did on that cross for each and every one of us, it's a journey for us all to recognise in our own lives. Recognising what Jesus went through for us all. The brutality of that torture, being whipped with literally an inch of his life, being beaten, made to carry the cross, which he physically could not do, to being put on that cross and crucified for us all. So we could all live in that forgiveness. We could all live and accept the grace of God. It went through for each and every one of us. We think about then the risen Saviour and the relationship we can now have with him. Understanding without Jesus we are lost. Like many of the disciples must have felt in that time when Jesus was crucified. They felt lost. They didn't know what to do. We understand that our Saviour is risen. That we can have that relationship with him. And then the same way that Mary literally came face to face with Jesus in that garden, that she hugged and clasped his feet, coming face to face with her risen Saviour, that we can all have that incredible relationship with our Saviour now. We can meet our risen Saviour, knowing we are forgiven, knowing that we can have that freedom, that we need to have no shame, no guilt, but we can live in that today. We can meet our risen Saviour today. But in the other way, we will come face to face with Jesus in the flesh one day as well, where there will be no more hurt, there will be no more pain, no more suffering or grief. But what incredible moment that would be when we will come face to face with our Saviour one day. But it's that joy of relationship today as well. As Mary went from despair to joy, as the verse says, that time of not knowing what was going to happen next in this story, what was going to happen next to Jesus, to the incredible joy of understanding actually that Jesus has conquered the grave. Jesus has beaten death and he is alive. The third thing that Mary goes from is from fear to faith. From fear to faith. She's going to read verses 5 to 8 again from chapter 28 of Matthew. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. I love that Mary sets off running before she's even encountered Jesus. It's not that she meets Jesus and then goes to tell people, but she's actually on her way to tell people of a risen Saviour when she meets him. This encounter with the angel fills her with faith of what has happened. We can look at our world today, can't we? And fear can very easily creep into our lives. It might be the wars that are going on, it might be the finances, the talk of tariffs and all these things that are around today in our world. It might be the world that our children are growing up in and the things that they face as well. It's very easy to let fear to set in to our lives. The disciples did as Jesus was being arrested and taken away. They fled, they they scattered around because they're fearful of what would happen to them as well. We can be led by fear in our world, or we can understand actually what faith in Jesus looks like in our life. That we serve a king that not is dead, that's not has been defeated, but a king that is resurrected, a king that is victorious over anything we face in our world. Whether that is sickness, whether that is finances, whether that is relationships, whatever situations we go through in our world, we know that we serve a victorious king. Not that these things won't affect us or come our way, but understand that we serve someone that is greater than is above all these things, that will walk through anything with us, that has conquered anything that we can come up against in our lives, and that with him that we have the majority on our side with Jesus in our life. We don't serve a king that's dead, we serve a king that is victorious. That we stand in that victory ourselves today. That it's not just Jesus' victory, it's our victory as well. He made it available for us all to live in and to be a part of. If the band would like to come back up now, thank you. As we consider Mary Magdalene, her journey that she went through, trying to comprehend, trying to think about what must have been going through her head, kind of blows my mind a bit, thinking about the journey she went on. From being someone that was oppressed, affected by these evil spirits she had in her life, to then being completely healed of that, walking with Jesus day by day, seeing him crucified on a cross and killed, and then meeting him face to face with a risen, resurrected king that he is. What a journey that is for Mary. Well, consider your life. Consider yourself, your upbringing, the things you've been through in your life, the ups and downs, the despair, the joy, the different seasons that you've had in your life. Think about what Jesus has done for you. That he gave his life so you could be forgiven, so that you could have your slate wiped clean, so you could live in freedom, you could live with a fresh start, with that relationship with him, so that you can encounter Jesus for yourself. As I said at the start, I want to give an opportunity for us all to pray a prayer that maybe some of you have never prayed before, maybe you have, and it's a time to actually re-recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. So I'm just going to say a line I'd like you all to repeat with me afterwards. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died, paid the price of my sins, and rose from the dead. I invite you to come into my life. I want to follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, just so I want to give us an opportunity for anyone that's maybe prayed that prayer for the first time, just to acknowledge that right now for yourself, between you and God as well. We'd also like to give you a small book. Don't worry, it's not an essay, it's not a novel, but just a small book that can help you understand what it is to have that relationship with Jesus. If you'd like to stand, as we make a decision to follow Jesus, it's the start of that relationship, start of an incredible journey, isn't it? Understanding that God wants to take us from a place of despair to joy, from fear to faith, and knowing that God has got incredible plans and purposes for each and every one of us. For us all this Easter, may we never forget, never take lightly what Jesus did for us on that cross. Now, we're putting ourselves in the feet, putting ourselves in the place of Mary Magdalene. It's a great place to be as we go through that journey of the Easter story, understanding what it would be like to see our Saviour on that cross, but also then meeting him face to face on that day, as we have a relationship with him here on earth, but knowing one day we're going to meet him face to face in heaven as well. Amen. Thank you.